Hello, and thank you for being a listener. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to let you know about a special offer being given to the new warehouse listener. That's you. Mobile Robot Guide is offering 10% off just for you when you purchase the Warehouse Solutions Buyer's Guide. Just use promo code WarehousePod10 at mobilerobotguide.com. That's WarehousePod10. This is your comprehensive guide for all things autonomous mobile robots. That's Warehouse Pod 10. And for more info, go to thenewwarehouse.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, joining you today with a new episode. Today, I'm going to be talking to Chris Galindo. He is the CEO at SCI Group. And SCI Group is a 3PL based out of Canada, one of the largest in Canada. So we're going to talk to Chris today. We're going to find out a little bit about SCI Group, what it is they do, how they've grown to be one of the largest, and also what the business environment has been like for them during COVID and the pandemic up in Canada. So Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking. I know we had a couple reschedules here and there, so I'm finally happy we could finally connect.
Absolutely.
So why don't you give us a little background about SCI Group and tell us, you know, everything that you guys are involved in.
Yeah. So as you said off the top there, SCI is, I think, one of Canada's leading third-party logistics companies, providing end-to-end supply chain solutions nationally to our customers. We focus in three key verticals, which are retail, technology, and healthcare. And in that space, we look to provide tailored, scalable solutions that we think deliver true value and satisfaction to our customers. In doing so, we've developed in Canada one of the most expansive networks in the country, with facilities coast to coast, both big warehouses, small locations, and a transportation operation. Our services are really broken into two main areas: our contract logistics group, which provides warehousing, fulfillment, reverse logistics, and a variety of value-added services. And that's complemented by the other side of our business, which focuses on transportation and really some niche services within transportation. So we operate a national white glove network, which is crews, two-man teams going out and doing not just a delivery, but an install, an inside delivery, and a variety of other services on site for high-value equipment. We offer a same-day courier network, managed courier network. And on top of that, we manage just overall transportation on behalf of our customers. And within that group, we've also developed out really around our white glove service, which was based around technology companies, a full set of technical services, both in the field, so technicians in the field, as well as depot services for repair and refurb. Ultimately, we're looking to offer our customers a one-stop shop, which allows, you know, a lot of our customers to ultimately outsource their supply chains. And when I look at our best example, one of our customers who's been with us for over 25 years, you know, started with a few trucks, and today their entire national supply chain is outsourced to SCI. So that's what we strive for with all of our customers, and we do it through that complete set of services I just ran through.
All right. Very nice. Yeah, it sounds like you guys cover pretty much all the bases when it comes to the supply chain and distributing and then delivering the product as well. So I'm curious, you know, I see here you guys ship almost 21 million units a year, right? And you're one of Canada's largest 3PL providers. So how is it that SCI has been able to grow to this level and become one of the leading providers in Canada?
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of start out as big as we are. We've been a business now that's been around 25 years, and started by, creating a strong reputation for what we could do. I mean, early on, we served customers like Amazon, Lowe's, Bell, some really big enterprise names, which gave us, I think, a lot of credibility in our ability as a smaller Canadian provider to serve those types of organizations. So that's been, I think, really important. And, today that reputation is upheld. And, we like to kind of throw out the fact that, we've done a recent survey that said that, 94% of our clients still today would recommend us to their peers, which I think is a real strong number. With that, we've always put the customer first. So we're very customer-centric in our thinking. We're focused on the customer's needs and really trying to bring value to each of our relationships on an ongoing basis. Today, success, I think, comes from creating value, and ultimately that leads to growth. We've also really relied upon a kind of grassroots continuous improvement program. It's really at the core of everything we do. It's a national program where everybody is incented to drive improvement on an ongoing basis. And again, when you're doing that for your customers, you create trust, you build your reputation, and it leads to growth. And then I guess finally, we're a business that's really ultimately about people. So not only talent, but we really focused on developing a unique and strong culture within SCI that has really helped us bring some amazing talent to our team. And that talent ultimately helps us to drive our business forward and, again, achieve some of that growth. So that's kind of the foundation of SCI, where we started. I think most recently, where we've seen our most rapid growth, we've seen kind of our last 3 years be our record growth years, has really been about focus around the verticals that I mentioned earlier. Really having a real clear vision of which area and which customers we think we can bring value to, focusing all of our energies around that, and really going out and getting those customers. And, as our company tagline says, it's SCI is the name, but it's about, making you even better. So our goal is to create that picture for our customers that, we're not just there as a supplier, but we're there to make them better every day.
Interesting. Yeah. And I like that approach, and it's really good stuff. I'm curious, you mentioned that the continuous improvement program is incentivized. So how does that kind of work? Give us a little brief summary, and how do you kind of incentivize the different, facilities and then the employees themselves to be a part of that program?
Yeah. I mean, the continuous improvement program really is we've got seven core metrics in our business that drive, I'll say our corporate bonus program. So continuous improvement is one. And the way we work is, we set a company-wide goal, but we cascade that goal down to every single operation and functional area in the business.
Okay.
With a target that they need to hit. Everything we do is tracked with a central tool, which does everything from tracking to providing every person in the company the opportunity to submit CI ideas for consideration, and ultimately many we implement. So I think, that's a key part to it. We've also built a dedicated continuous improvement team, which is out there to continue to work with all people, all sites, to help them either identify opportunities or, in some cases, drive those opportunities forward. And, I guess it all culminates with, as a company, we celebrate, two main things in our annual event every year. One is safety, and the second is continuous improvement. So for the last, I might get this wrong, but at least the last 5 years, we run a program where the best continuous improvement idea out of every one of our sites is put forward for consideration for our top CI of the Year award. We ultimately choose the winner, and that winner, no matter what site they're from, is brought into our annual event. Their idea is showcased, and ultimately they're awarded a $5,000 prize for their contribution. So we try and highlight it in a variety of different ways, including setting it as part of our goals, which leads to everybody understanding its importance for our business.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that because, continuous improvement only truly works within a company culture if it's coming from the top and then cascading down as you guys are doing it, and then involving everybody and making sure that they're aware that these things are actually happening and action is actually being taken and they're being listened to, it sounds like, too, as well. You guys are tracking the ideas from employees and things, which is a great thing. I'm curious, and I don't want to put you in a position against your employees or anything, but, you know, what of those projects that have kind of won these awards that you guys do over the last 5 years, what has been your favorite? I'm curious what has been your favorite and how did that kind of go?
You know, I guess without saying the specific project, I think my favorites are the ones when I see our associates at the warehouse floor level or the transportation level come forward with the idea and really drive that through to completion. I can think of one, you know, in the last couple of years where just, an individual warehouse worker on the floor doing his job every day, you know, notices that, you know, I can make this better by using some of the leftover equipment around me, some conveyor that happened to be sitting in the building, and said, you know, if I incorporate this into my process and improve my flow, I can drive an improvement for our business and for our customer. You know, those to me are the favorite ones because not only does it mean that, you know, everybody in our organization is trying to participate in continuous improvement, there's no better look on anybody's face when they're brought to our annual meeting and they're awarded this prize without knowing, they actually don't know what the prize is, to see, you know, how happy they are and how impactful that is for them. So I think that those are really my favorite ones.
Nice. Yeah. That's definitely always the best, is a kind of just a little simple solution that somebody thinks of, and then it has a huge impact that maybe they don't even realize what will be in the long run. So that's really, really great that you guys do.
Sure.
I love that. So talk to us a little bit about what's going on in Canada and how the environment has been. I've talked to some people on the podcast, but mostly U.S. based. And, you know, obviously things are different all over the world right now during the pandemic. So I'm curious, you know, what has the environment for businesses been like in Canada during the whole COVID pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody, no matter what part of the world you're in, it's been difficult. It's been disruptive to all business and really to, you know, to all Canadians. You know, and for us, you know, when it started, I guess back in, like, it was March timeframe where it really started to impact people. I mean, the first thing we did as a company is, you know, we made sure that we were going to put our people first in everything that we did. You know, that there are so many different situations over the last 5-6 months that, you know, our team members have faced. And we've always tried to be absolutely flexible and understanding of all their challenges and allowed them to do what they needed to do to feel good and to deal with any issues they might be facing. So that's been, you know, primary first thing. You know, as far as business, how it's impacted here in Canada for our business, I mean, it's helped some of our business and hurt others. You know, e-commerce or B2C is clearly, taking advantage of this situation where volumes in e-commerce are way up over what would have been expected. You know, both with our existing customers as well as, you know, new players who weren't in the game that we're now rapidly trying to find a way to get in the game.
Right.
You know, some of our business is oriented to B2B type activities, business to business. And in that space, we saw, you know, businesses closing, government buildings shutting, schools down, and, you know, a direct impact to our, you know, our top line. So we saw, you know, hits in the 30-40% range there. But, you know, in the end, most of what FCI does is it was considered essential services. So we had to, you know, keep the doors open and keep things moving. And we've been able to do that pretty well. A couple other trends we've seen related to pandemic. You know, you mentioned talking to folks in the U.S. We've seen a lot of U.S. companies looking to try and localize inventory. And we've seen that trend a little bit before the pandemic, but it's kind of really, you know, moved ahead even quicker now, where the border issues related to the pandemic really challenged some U.S. companies with servicing Canada. So now they're looking to move inventory to Canada. And then new opportunities have been created all over the place around healthcare and specifically, you know, PPE distribution. There's, you know, over the last 6 months, we've probably had 20, 30, 40 calls of different people looking for support on, you know, supply chain management of PPE. So that's happened quite a bit. You know, I think overall, SCI's fared very well, you know, much better than most. the good side offset the bad side. We've maintained, being adaptable and flexible and agile to all our customers' needs. And, really it was about creating a resilient environment and workforce to, really keep the goods flowing to Canadians during this pandemic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's been definitely a lot of pivoting and trying to figure out how to, maintain certain guidelines and things within the facilities as well. So I'm curious there, you mentioned something interesting where, some customers who were not necessarily in the B2C space before and then kind of desperately trying to get in just to, keep some business going. How does SCI kind of, I'm curious, do you have businesses that were just working in kind of a B2B or just a retail space? And then wanted to pivot into e-commerce or B2C. How does SCI kind of support a company and help them make that kind of pivot?
Yeah, I think, one of the things, and we had actually been targeting this as a company a bit even before COVID hit, but, I mentioned earlier that some of our grassroots were in servicing companies like Amazon. So in Canada, right. We were one of the first companies really supporting large-scale e-commerce, way back in the early 2000s. So, part of our history has been as a strong provider of B2C services. And, we've been taking that to market in a variety of ways to try and, help companies, build a B2C channel. And, examples more recently were, a lot of manufacturers, whether they're in, we're seeing it a lot in the technology or the healthcare sectors that, had not had a B2C channel previously, we're starting to talk to us about how we could help them create that. And then of course, the pandemic hit and, some of these companies had no other method to get their goods out to people. So then, those conversations ramped up even quicker. So, that's probably, an example, how do we help them? Again, as experts, in doing that, everything from helping them understand Canada, which is, different than, other countries. It's a huge country with a very, focused population in five or six cities, but then also a group of people that are spread out all over the place. So I think our expertise in Canada, our knowledge of how to service, the B2C market in Canada, has been something that we bring to the table and really help companies find, the right location to distribute from, the right carriers to work with, the right overall supply chain strategy to be successful.
That's great. Yeah. I think that it's really important that you guys help those businesses be able to make that pivot as many, are not able to do business in the normal way, or at least a sufficient amount. So it's good that you're able to help them kind of keep going through this. So I'm curious, what kind of difficulties has SCI kind of ran into this? I know over here in the States, like we've had some issues where, on the supply chain side, business is spiking like crazy. Companies are seeing spikes, similar to what the holiday season would be. And some companies have run into issues getting enough employees really to handle the volume. And there's been some labor shortages in certain areas. I know in my area here in New Jersey, there's been a bit of a labor shortage as well for warehousing. So I'm curious if you guys are running into any of those issues and are you investing in any kind of automation to help alleviate those kind of things?
Yeah. Well, on the first note, I think, people again has been over the last 6 months, a major focus. The whole automation topic had been going on already, but with the pandemic, and some of the growth in volumes we saw, we were out in the market in the last 6 months looking to onboard, hundreds of associates, to help support, this added growth. So, it has been challenging. I think in order, we started again, I mentioned it earlier, but we started about, putting our people and the safety of our people first, and making sure that, we had good PPE, good hygiene, social distancing in our locations. We made shift adjustments to spread people out, and really just ramped up our communication because, part of getting, the right number of people in was keeping the people that we had in our locations. There was a lot of fear and a lot of concern, and there was a lot of people who, just didn't want to come to work. So making them feel and showing them that they would be as safe as possible, I think, was a key. From there we went to, onboarding people and, ultimately adding shifts and working weekends. And for us, I mentioned, some of our business was a little slower. So, one of the advantages of working with us as a 3PL is we were able to, pull labor from other operations that were slower to our visitor ones to help out with, getting people on board. So those were a few things we did. And, from an automation standpoint, we've been working on automation for, several years already. We're in the process of implementing collaborative robots on the warehouse floor and using other forms of automation to, not only say replace people, but, help create greater throughput in our sites and allow us to get, more product out with less people on the floor. Which of course is also good when you're trying to keep people social distance.
Definitely. Very, very interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to see the differences and also a lot of the similarities of things happening around the world. So I'm curious now, there was kind of an initial surge a lot of companies were seeing in e-commerce business. So have you seen that the kind of spike in demand has kind of leveled off a little bit, or is it still continuing to increase? And how do you think it's going to continue on as we hopefully start to get to the end of this situation and things restore a little bit back to normal?
Yeah, well, on the B2C side, huge spikes in volumes. I would say, some of our customers saw as much as almost a tenfold growth in what was B2C. I mean, particularly customers who we're running both store and e-com environments. But when the store shut down, everything diverted to B2C, and we saw huge spikes. Those spikes, as we've kind of started the reopening process, have come back down. So they're not at those levels that they were, but they're definitely have not returned to where they were pre-COVID. And it's my expectation that they won't. We probably move the whole e-commerce volume forward, at least a couple of years from where the original forecasts were going to be, and that, we'll call that the new normal. Right. So I think that's what we're going to see there. And, as we move into the holiday season this year, a lot of forecasts are showing, massive, e-commerce volumes again through the holiday season. So that's going to present some real big challenges, I think, for all retailers or people in those channels, both from a fulfillment perspective, a labor perspective, and enough capacity in the market to actually deliver all the packages. At the same time, we've seen on the B2B side, we've seen in our business at least a major reduction in volume, so as much as 30 to 40% over the last couple months with, the phased reopening. We're definitely seeing the volumes come back. But at the same time, the forecast there is that it likely won't all come back. I think there's now some permanent loss volumes on the B2B side, either due to, some things being canceled or just volume shifting to the B2C side. So I think there's a permanent shift of volumes, that we'll see, as we move forward.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens this holiday season as well, since we're already kind of at higher than normal levels. Is it just going to exponentially increase? It'll be interesting to see consumer behavior as it continues through the holidays. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. So curious, mm-hmm. From these different types of things, right? We deal with kind of a little bit of chaos, but usually out of chaos comes, some opportunities and some different things to learn and take away. So I'm curious, from SCI standpoint, what are some of the learnings that you have been able to take away from this situation, and how do you think companies can kind of prepare themselves in the event that something like this is to suddenly occur again in the future?
Yeah, the interesting thing, I think we always thought we were preparing for different things with disaster recovery plans, business continuity, but you never, I guess, until you see something of this size, you don't necessarily test it in that way. And overnight, some of these programs were tested, for most things like remote working. We moved several hundred people out of our corporate office to work from home almost overnight. And the good thing is we learned that it worked, and you know, the business kept running, and there really was no major blips in that regard. You know, what we learned as well is that, you know, in order to communicate and stay engaged with the workforce remotely required all kinds of other things and enhanced levels of communication, new tools. And again, you know, I think we were able to learn and do some good things from that standpoint. A lot of it stemmed from, for us, creating immediately when this started a dedicated pandemic team. With a pure focus on dealing with pandemic-related issues, remote working, communications, and making sure that, you know, everybody was getting communicated to and aligned with what the company was doing. Because, you know, in the early days, it was, you know, every day, you know, things were changing. Every day we were learning new things. So somebody had to quarterback all that, and the team did a great job. The other thing that was important for us, because we were facing uncharted territory, we very early on set for ourselves some guiding principles as a business on how we would make decisions. And, you know, those were really tested in situations where, you know, what would happen when we had a positive employee COVID test in a facility, you know. So, you know, as opposed to just trying to make up the decision as we went, we had some guiding principles to use to help us make that and stay consistent in how we did that. So I think that was really helpful. I guess as far as, you know, things to think about moving forward, I mean, clearly scalability, adaptability are two key things that have really been highlighted through the COVID situation. So for us as a 3PL, you know, how do we set ourselves up to be able to scale very rapidly? I mean, we've done this before a little bit and tested it through, you know, dealing with holiday peaks, but this was even more extreme. This happened faster. It happened bigger. So for us, you know, looking forward, it's making sure we've got the right, you know, labor programs, the right physical setup, the right automation that we're trying to work on, and the right partnerships, I think, to try and make sure we can scale if it were to happen again. And just flexibility, you know, being ready to be as flexible as possible, because, you know, through the last 6 months, it's, you know, there's no 6 month plan through this period. It's kind of a daily or a weekly plan because it's changed so rapidly. So just, you know, being ready to embrace the change and be agile and adapt to what's handed to you every day, I think was really important for our team to understand. And now that they've done it, you know, the good thing is that they've actually taken away from this that, you know, change and flexibility and moving with speed maybe wasn't as difficult as they once thought. So it's, you know, there is a little bit of a positive learning experience there for all in our organization from that.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you guys were able to put together a team so quickly to be able to kind of deal with the situation. I think that's really important. And as you said, you know, everything was changing daily. I mean, still in some cases it's changing daily, changing weekly. So really important to kind of have that unified message and make sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page. So really interesting stuff. And I'm happy you could share some insights with us and some of those takeaways as well. So how can people find out more information about SCI Group?
Well, yeah, I think the easiest way to do it would be to go to our website at SCI.ca, and from there there's a variety of contact ways to get a hold of us, and we'd be happy to talk to anybody about their supply chain needs in Canada and how we might be able to help make them better.
All right, awesome. So Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm happy we could connect and have this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.